Start using finger puppets and crayons to explain why self-defense is a good thing. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
This bill is a step forward, close to gun control, period, to disarm the American people, period. What I'm interested in all, what is behind this? They come here in those dog and pony show and try that they're going to protect people. You're going to protect nobody. I want to know what is behind it. Do you know what is behind it? The problem that we have in this country with this Marxism. Marxism is not coming. Marxism is here. Marxism has been in this country for quite a while. And the politicians allow that because they are ignorant or they are part of the plot. Don't sell me this. A very powerful man tried to sell me this 50-something years ago. I didn't buy it. Do you think I'm going to buy it now? After pushing 80 years? This is Marxism. Plain and clear. With everything. Communism, socialism, humanism, I heard that too in my native country. They put this dog and pony show saying, hey, we're going to protect you. No, what they did was enslave a country. They destroyed a country in the same way that this country is going to be destroyed if we continue in this time.
Amen. Well, that was a gentleman at a city council meeting in the United States calling it out. And truthfully, I'd have to say, and that could have been said in any city in America right now.
Yep.
That's where we're at. And that's disappointing, I know. And so we've all gathered here together to discuss what in the world is going on. And I am so grateful to you for joining in on this conversation. Phone lines are open, 888-673-1450. And we're live all over the globe right now. We have a lot of listeners in so many different countries and all over the United States and Canada. Grateful for that, even in Mexico. And I'll tell you, we're seeing it. We know. And a lot of eyes have been opened. Thank goodness.
It's a shame. Mm-hmm. It's a shame that it takes someone who escaped tyranny to come to the United States mm-hmm. to tell us to look out. It's coming.
It's coming. And there's no theory attached to this anymore. And we can see all the signs. And I thought Dr. Pesta brought up some great signs of where these so-called people running for president, all these leaders, and all of them are bringing us, and what the destination is, what the mm-hmm. goal is, and it's getting more wacko and more wacko. And you think, well, people wouldn't go along with this kind of nonsense, but they are. They're either being bullied into it because of political movement groups, or they're going along with it because it sounds nice. And I know in Ireland, they're having some pretty big changes in Ireland, trying to ban private cars, right?
Yeah, and they actually have a plan in place now mm-hmm. to use tax hikes,
mm-hmm.
bans on buying fuel,
right,
and red tape for purchasing cars to force people out of their cars to reduce carbon emissions to zero by 2050. They also want to replace coal and peat-fired power plants
mm-hmm.
And go to wind farms. And at the same time, they want to bring in a million more migrants into Ireland's population.
Yeah. Opening the doors so, you know, here we are. The whole emissions scam was brought to us in 95 by a think tank in Washington, where they said that Americans would be so stupid we wouldn't understand enough about emissions so that we would put up with the tax. And lo and behold, here we are. That actually, you know, has gone out to obviously other countries as well, and other countries adopted it just fine. Ireland being one of them, doing all of that, taking away people's real true liberty in the name of carbon emissions. And This is what I fear. This is what I fear coming in the future. There's a lot of things I fear. Where the movements take us. Where the movements take us. It's a big deal, and it's good to know where we're headed. And as they're just opening their borders, it's everything's okay. Let's restrict freedom like crazy. And here in America too, we have all these restrictions on freedom, one in the name of being politically correct, and then the other one, kind of like this. We were looking at this story. We should have actually brought this up with Pesta, but they had the drag queen reading hour, right? Yeah. And there was a pastor that was saying, well, I counter this. I counter this with my voice, and I am standing out here in protest. And what's interesting is the police centered on him and basically violated his free speech rights while upholding the transgender's rights that were there.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting? He wasn't allowed to give his side. He wasn't allowed to say, I don't agree with this. They simply wasn't allowed.
They told him to move across the street from where the actual event was going on.
Right.
And he refused. He said, I have every right to stand here
this
and protest.
Spokane,
it's a public
Washington.
Street.
Mm-hmm.
And they arrested him.
Yeah. Spokane, Washington. And the officers said it was obstruction. They basically said,
sure.
It was obstruction. And he was honestly there to protest, he wasn't being violent, nothing. He was just there to protest.
On a public street.
Yep. He said, this is a public library, and the only event that they've reserved is in a private room, and the rest of the library is U.S. property. Actually, the whole thing is property. Just because you rent a room doesn't mean you get to change the Constitution.
No.
That you get to change anything. And so he said, I have a right to free speech wherever I want. But the cops, that's what's interesting about this story, is the cops went in and focused on him rather than the rest of the group that was there. If the rest of the group is there, they get to say what they say. Can't somebody protest?
Well, there were another 200 concerned citizens protesting, mm-hmm. and they moved them all across the street away from the library.
Wow. The libraries that we all pay for.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that are public places that were actually designed to keep mm-hmm. free speech alive by books and knowledge.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's amazing. It really is. It's hard to stomach. And just watching how they came down on that, it shows you, a little bit in the future, how the cops can weigh on the side of political correctness just to weigh on the side of political correctness. There's something really wrong with that. And wanted to point that out because we're seeing more of this. And I don't know if people are picking up on that, but we are seeing more of this. So it's really scary. There's another thing going on in Washington, and I thought this was kind of interesting. They passed a bill in Washington. They said everybody wanted it. Everybody didn't want it. The smaller communities, the more conservative communities, actually voted no. But the bigger communities, the big cities, the big liberal cities, voted yes on this. And it was gun control. It was a lot of gun control. And what I thought was interesting about this is the fact that the sheriffs actually stood up and said no. They said, we're not going to honor those things. The communities that we represent didn't want it. We're not going to honor it. It's in violation to our Second Amendment, and they're trying to stand up for it. And you got to give those sheriffs a lot of credit because it is very difficult to do that. That state is going downhill so far, so fast, and they actually want to stand up. And there was 22 or 24 of them standing up and saying no. And I just give a lot of credit to that. I give a lot of credit to sheriffs who understand their power. And I really wish more did and more had a backbone. And what I see is a lot of sheriffs that do not possess a backbone. But I'm hoping as they see the example of some of these other sheriffs in the country, that maybe they can find their backbone and display it in some manner and stand up for the citizenry when they clearly see Constitution totally violated in their state.
This illustrates an important point, though. The 40 police officers mm-hmm. that were sent out to defend the drag queen story hour at mm-hmm. the library, 40 police officers who did it, are hired people. Your sheriffs are elected.
Yes, yes.
And it makes a big difference.
It does. It really does. And so I just wanted to let you all know what's going on there, because maybe you're having something go along these lines in your state. And I think it's always important to understand and know your sheriff and know if they have a backbone and know if they're going to stand up for your constitutionally, what's supposed to be constitutionally protected rights, God-given rights, and that we can make sure and hold feet to the fire through that and let people know that that you will not tolerate a sheriff that will not that will not side with the Constitution. That is really our, one of our only holdouts. And it really is on liberty.
Yep.
And that's really kind of a sad thing, isn't it? That your liberty is dependent, a lot of it is dependent upon a sole sheriff in your area. That it's, I know we've gotten to that point, but that's generally the point that we're at. And I just wanted to reference that because I think that I don't think we truly understand how that Second Amendment is under fire. And with what they were trying to pass through, they absolutely said, this isn't okay. These unconstitutional laws, we're not okay with these things. And in fact, it was law of 1639, and it was the brainchild of a very leftist element throughout Washington. But it raised the legal age to buy any semi-automatic to 21 from 18. They also had to pass a very enhanced background check. They had to show proof that they had taken firearms training. They had to wait 10 business days before they took possession. Sounds a lot like California, actually. And that the initiative defined a semi-automatic rifle as one that uses energy from firing a cartridge to the chamber of the next round and requires a separate pull of the trigger to fire each bullet. They had more legislation on long guns, pumps, sides, slides, levers, and bolts. It was very constricting. And so these sheriffs said, this is not okay. This is not okay. It also created a bigger gun registry, too, as far as more elements to their gun registry.
And it was not nearly as constricting as Cory Booker's plan for gun control, which he announced the other day.
Isn't it amazing that a Cory Booker gets into office and is in charge of people's liberty as much as a Pelosi, as much as a Graham or McConnell, as much as a Bush, as much as I could keep going, a Clinton. I mean, you just wonder how these people get elevated into these positions. Hmm. And usually they're just such big yes men to these leftist Marxist
organizations, tyrants.
And then you see it coming out in droves. And that's the sad part. There are drills going on, too. Just wanted to let you know. It's a yearly drill. But I found a couple of them kind of interesting that I wanted to bring up in the next segment of the show. And a court decision that was very intriguing that I want to bring up as well with Gorsuch. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. More with myself and Uncle Milty.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
In that Texas town, about to shack outside the game. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you want to go to that home out on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. And I've got Uncle Melty here. Has ZZ Top always been 100 years old?
Yeah.
I don't remember an album cover where they looked any younger. I was just thinking about that. Welcome back to the show. I know. Welcome back to the show. And Squirrel. So I was just thinking about that for a second. I welcome you. Phone lines are open, 888-673-1450. Go to the katedalyradio.com, three words, katedalyradio.com. And you can see all the podcasts there and a lot of information on sponsors like Balance of Nature, which I love, by the way. I've been loving this, and it's been making me feel so good that I had to share it with you. You can also nab 30% off right now. I'm not kidding, 30% off. All you have to do is put in the name Kate when you order. It's that easy. And I want to share this with you because I have friends who actually are cancer-free right now that have been taking it for a decade. I have friends that have been taking it for 15 years that swear by it. I started taking it, and I am loving it. living it. And they have a great cleanse, too, that's amazing. And sometimes we just don't think about doing that. We don't think about our bodies or these engines, and we've got to get them cleaned out. We've also got to make sure that they have the fruits and veggies that they need. And so this is a great clean product, and it is fantastic. So you can get 30% off. That's huge right now. Just put in the product code Kate, and the link is right on the front page of my website, katedallyradio.com. You can link right over. Uncle Milty and I were just talking about this. Before I get to the drills, we want to talk about this because there is something going on with this whole flag burning thing. We were laughing in the prior hour because we were talking about the fact that it would be nice to be able to burn a UN flag because the UN demonstrates everything that's wrong with America as far as global order of things and their takeover and what they would like to have happen to supersede our Constitution any way they can, right? And you were talking about this. You were like, hey, can I?
Yeah. No.
Can we do that, please?
So. I'll tell you, with this that's going on, this Gregory Joey Johnson of the Revolutionary Communist Party told the Washington Examiner that he's going to be there in D.C., and they're going to burn the flag at Trump's, at the president's activities, the Salute to America activity on Independence Day. And in 2016, he did something similar. And a group of veterans tried to stop him. And, of course, they were fought back. You can't do it. You can't stop them, you know.
Right.
But instead, if you're in that area, go there. Burn a UN flag next to him. Burn a rainbow flag next to him.
All the other flags.
All
no
the other
flags.
Burn
in
a communist China flag. Burn a North Korean flag. Let him burn the American flag while we burn all these other flags.
You know, let's just go with the obvious, because this reminds me of the whole debacle with what's-his-bucket that knelt at the... I try not to even say his name, because I just think he's ridiculous, but knelt at the football NFL
game.
Field, right? Big controversy. The thing I have a problem with isn't the freedom to burn or not to burn. It's how it's displaced. So we have a huge problem here. Not only do you have the obvious, the Communist Party burning the American flag. Okay, number one, that's very, very obvious in who doesn't like the flag or what the flag represents. But the reason that they're burning it is really of interest to me. It was like the reason that What's-His-Bucket knelt, okay, on the football field. Not that he doesn't have the freedom to kneel. He does. And I want to live in a country where you have the freedom to do that. And I know a lot of people disagree with that, but I actually think you should have the freedom to do that. That I don't want to have political correctness take over, okay? But here's the displacement. What he said was, that rag of empire and oppression is about to burn, okay, is going to burn. The flag does not represent an empire of empire building and oppression. It doesn't to me at all. What it represents is men that fought and died for a new idea of government, and that was what was right, what was supposed to be the public-owned government, and also the government just protecting their rights but not having authority over them like it would in a dictatorship or a communist country, okay? So that's what the flag represents to me. What these people do is they change the meaning of the flag to represent the hardcore truth that there is. There are some things going on that we're doing over in the Middle East, but it's not us. So the flag represents America. What they really should be burning is a flag of faces that profiteer and that send troops over and that send us over into wars that were never about freedom in the first place. There should be people held accountable for the empire building or the control we like to have over other nations. But that's a specific group trying to profiteer, trying to control that. That isn't the whole of America. That isn't the people of America. The people of America might be naive to why we're going overseas, but the flag represents our nation and what we were founded on, not what they're angry about. So if you want to be angry about something, then go and destroy a flag that represents what they're angry about. They want to destroy all of America, the American flag that represents our freedom, our liberty. And even though we're not there still, we don't have that freedom and liberty still, we're working on it, but we don't have it still, that flag still represents and will always represent that. And that's exactly why when people sign up for the military, they get so angry, because that's what they're there for. They're not there to help people empire build, a lot of them. A lot of them go in with the idea that we're preserving our freedom here, although it does get mixed up a little bit in what we're doing overseas.
Yes, it does. But when you just think about the simple fact that the guy who's making a big deal out of burning our flag is of the Revolutionary Communist Party. To me, that says it all.
Yeah.
And if you agree that he should be up there burning our flag,
mm-hmm.
Because he prefers communism,
uh-huh. Yeah.
Then there's an issue going on.
I agree. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show.
Yes, Americans are very confused about this whole issue of burning the flags,
mm-hmm.
because basically the property rights, liberties have been bred out of Americans. The whole issue of burning flags is property rights, the property of the flag itself and the other property where you're burning it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on somebody else's property and they don't want you to burn it, then you're violating a property right.
Mm-hmm.
If it's their flag, then you're violating property rights.
Mm-hmm.
It's not freedom of speech is secondary to property rights on this. And what's happened in America for many generations now, we've been told over and over again, the symbolism of liberty is more important than liberty itself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the representation. And the flag means different things to different people. But the way America's headed towards tyranny, that flag is starting to represent tyranny to some extent. And that's what we need to fight, is the tyranny and the evolution, mm-hmm. or the devolution we're going through right now towards tyranny.
I agree with you, actually. I agree with that. His reasoning for it, the guy from the Communist Party, was that rag of empire and oppression, as if that's all it means. And that isn't true. To many of us, it means something completely different. So we place different meanings on that flag. And that's the problem in America, is that you see people doing this, and they're doing it for a reason, that their anger is actually displaced.
Right about that, but we're getting too wrapped up on what it represents. We need to get wrapped up in how we're losing our liberties.
Mm-hmm.
You understand the point? The symbolism,
I do. Mm-hmm.
They want us to, like the quarterback kneeling. It
mm-hmm.
was all the symbolism, and they want us to focus on the symbols, because that's okay, the saying of the Pledge of Allegiance, mm-hmm. and so forth, as long as you don't focus on the devolution of liberty in our nation.
Yes, I will agree with that. I will agree with that, because to naively think that it's only about what it started out as and we still have that is a lie. It isn't, because we don't have that anymore. But we do represent that, and I think for a lot of people, that symbol will always just be a symbol, and it'll be a symbol of that, not what we're doing overseas, or not where it's been hijacked in government from unlawful agencies that have taken over, intelligence agencies that lie continuously, all kinds of situations like that. So they're trying to take the symbolism of the flag and put it onto something that I think is very displaced. But yes, the symbolism in general, I will agree with
you. And if we really want to support the symbolism, what it represents, liberty, we denounce this commie, but we don't take away his rights. Because when you take away his rights, you're taking away all of our rights.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Thank you for that. No, it was a good explanation. It's just, like with the guy that knelt. I didn't disagree with him kneeling, because I thought he has a right to kneel if he wants to kneel. I don't care what he does. Everybody has the right to do what they want to do, or should in America. But his whole reasoning was so off base. If he really wanted to have brought people's direction and their focus into cops and what he said the cops were doing wrong, it had nothing to do with the flag, to me, that symbol. It had everything to do with then hold some press conferences and talk about the issue at hand, but to put it all on the flag of what America was founded on, based upon what we represent, that to me was just off base. And you might disagree. I don't know. With this whole nonsense of turning the flag into something it's not, and I think if you really want to go after those that you feel are a problem, then go after a lot of these deep staters and a lot of the elite who love to control and make sure that we're doing things to their advantage. Go after them. That's who you should be angry at. The flag? No.
No. No, the flag is not their symbol.
Yeah.
The flag was our symbol, mm-hmm. not their symbol.
Right. And a symbol of what was right about about what we did and how we landed here and what we are about, or what we should be about. Yes, we've lost freedom, but the symbol still represents that to me and always will. It's, in fact, it's even a good reminder, if you will, about what we have lost and what we need to get back to while we hopefully still can, if we can. To me, when people are burning the flag, and this is why people get so upset, it's like we're in two totally different conversations. They're over here saying, I'm angry about this, I'm going to take it out on the flag, and we're over here going, why are you taking it out on the flag? Take it out on who you're angry at. But I don't think people know how to say that. They wrap it all up into the flag because they know that people have invested a lot of emotion into the sacrifices made to be able to live in this country and to be able to be here.
The flag does not just represent one idea either. The stripes represent the 13 original colonies. Mm-hmm. The stars represent the 50 states of the Union. The flag colors are symbolic. Red symbolizes valor, white purity and innocence. Blue represents vigilance, justice. So there's more to that flag than just, it's the flag of the United States.
Right, right. And it really does serve as a reminder. And I just wanted to make that point because that's what it is to me. That's what it is to a lot of people I know. Does it represent the current state of affairs?
No,
but it represents what we're supposed to be about. And I'd rather have a reminder of that. There's a local business near me that flies a very, very large flag and it looks beautiful. And I absolutely love that they do it. And I think they should be commended for that. I think that if you have a flag, that is the symbol of what we're supposed to be. Why not be reminded of that? Why not be reminded of our past and who we were and how far we have gotten off the path?
Yes.
Why not? And so at the 4th of July, I hope we see a lot of flags. Maybe it'll sink down deep into local government, state government, and federal government, how far off the mark they actually are and how they've hijacked our liberty along the way. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see so many flags around somebody that they can't not think of it. That's me, though. Flag doesn't represent empire building. The deep state does, and those involved in sending our guys over there to do that, too. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. Think it's time we stop, children.
Watch outside. Kate Daly Show. Go to katedalyradio.com for podcasts of the show. And I have Uncle Milty with me. How are you? A couple of things on my mind. We are in the 19th year of doing this drill. This drill is a drill that we have all of these nations, 19 different nations. They're actually starting this in the Ukraine, and they're kicking this off quickly. This was actually on Free Beacon, because we've talked about this, I think, each year that they've done this. They're kicking off this 19-nation war games in Ukraine. The strange thing about this story is if you really kind of think of it on its face. We've been doing this for 19 years, and they're saying with threats from Iran, Russia rising, America launches war games, right? Here's the story. And the United States military partners from 19 countries getting together to kick this off, massive series of war drills in Ukraine amid all of these rising threats. Now, every single year we're told the exact same thing, all these rising threats. And we probably do. Who knows? I'm not arguing that point. The point I want to make is they have military. We have all these assets there. They're joining with 19 nations, 33 ships, 26 aircraft, over 3,000 troops to participate in a maritime air and land exercise that's going to enhance, they say, capabilities, improve interoperability, and build upon decades of partnership and friendship through war games. You build upon relationships with other countries because you're playing a war game, okay? And this is, it's called Seabreeze. Now in its 19th year. And they say this is a tense time. They actually do that every year. But they're saying that this is that we should keep an eye on this and everything else. And I agree. Drills are always, to me, something that I keep my eye on, because a lot of things happen during drills that wouldn't normally, that are sometimes used as false flags, or they can pin something on somebody, but they thought they were in a drill. 9/11 ring a bell? Anyway, so you have this case going on. But I just want to understand, if you really look at this on its face value, what in the world are we drilling for? For 19 years we've been doing this, spending a lot of money drilling. Drilling so that we will go to war successfully. Drilling with 19 nations so that we will know exactly what each other's part in a war is. Yet, we do nothing but say we want peace. I just wanted to put that out there for a moment, because I don't know of anything as more of the antithesis to peace than war. Why in the world do we do these drills? What is the dress rehearsal for? And nobody ever takes that into account. Everybody goes, you know what? It's a drill. It's okay to just know what you're doing for what. Anyway,
we do the same thing in Europe. We've been doing it since the end of World War II.
Yep.
Every year in Germany, in Grafenwehr, Germany, there's a big military exercise, 27 countries.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But they tell us that this is for peace. How is war for peace? I'm just so curious. I'm so curious at this. I think this is the biggest oxymoron. Anyway, hi, caller. I'm trying to get there. 888-673-1450. It's a really strange way to me to go about fostering a relationship with another country. How about this? How about we don't pay any other countries for their friendship? How about we just exercise some trade? We also exercise and make sure that we can, I don't know, not be dependent on somebody else completely, but we actually look at all the resources we've been given here in this country and promote those, and then do a little trade, and that's it. That, to me, that would be a great way to go about peace, but apparently we have bought into the notion that even doing this drill for 19 years in a row is just dandy. It just surprises me, I think, every time. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Okay, yeah, you know, it's important for our military to have a level of readiness. That's why, you know, our early military was called the Minutemen, and that's always important. We always have to wonder about the military, because I heard news today that last Thursday, the day the drone was shot down, we hacked into the command and control system for Iran's air defense systems.
Interesting
so
timing.
Did we shoot down our own drone?
Very interesting that you'd mention that.
Another false flag system to see how far this would go.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. I get a lot of critique if I ever mention a false flag, especially with Iran. It's kind of interesting how much propaganda is out there that we've bought into continuously for decades upon decades upon decades that we're not even willing to even look and see if it might be a false flag. I even say those words and I get critiqued emails, you know, from people that are just so angry. How in the world could I trust any other intelligence but our own? I'm sorry. Have they not continuously lied to us for, I don't know, since 1931 with 53 false flags they've admitted to? Anyway, it's always amazing.
I always find it funny that all the news media were all ready and all their analysts were all saying, we have to do something, we have to do something.
Yes.
Tucker Carlson on Fox was the only one who said, wait a minute, maybe we should sit back and think about this and take a deep breath. And the president listened to that man.
Yeah, yeah.
And made sense.
I think so, too.
And because, I mean, okay, they shot down a $100 million drone. Mm-hmm. We burned through $100 million in less than a minute in the United States anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and to say, well, they did something provocational and all these other things. We now know that what happened in Syria with all the gas attacks were fake, and all these other things were fake. There's no bombs of mass destruction, all these weapons of mass destruction, all these things. So I think he's taking the right maneuver of sitting back and going, wait a minute, all you generals want to bang the drum. I want to see what's really happening.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thank you for that. I really, absolutely. I did appreciate that. I really did, because this makes no sense to me. If you're going to go to this extent, and I mean year after year after year after year, then are you inviting? Do you want this? Do you want this stuff to happen? Because I don't see anything moving towards good relationships here. I see a lot of people that would really like to have a war. It's kind of like all the continuous training with police, and then the FBI, they started out with certain groups that would only come, SWAT, for instance, would only come when something was dire, right? Hostages and so forth. And now they're at everything. Mm-hmm. Every time there's even a slightest incident, I'm surprised it's not at a traffic stop, SWAT appears. And we tend to be very heavy-handed in this. And it's like, we have all these toys, we have this equipment, we would really like to exercise the right to use it all the time. And so that's what I'm always leery about, is what we invite in. Because if we were sort of backing off and just conducting trade, that might bring about some peace in some different countries. But the continuous act of having a drill for war, I'm not quite sure that's the remedy. Just seems off to me. And I know that you might think that, oh, hey, this is the best thing we could do is to drill all the time. But I'm seeing more and more and more drills. I mean, at a record pace, actually. And that bothers me. Does it ever bother you, Uncle Milty?
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. I do agree that we need to maintain a certain mm-hmm. amount of readiness, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean, but that's what the military usually trains for.
Right.
War games like this, I don't know, something about it just is off. You know, in this article, they used Russia rising. Okay, I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but Russia rising. What I found kind of funny or kind of interesting was that Russia's military jets, because of a treaty, get to do observational rounds over United States. No threat there, but you know what I mean? They're used as a threat, in other words. It's used as a threat. Oh, you want to fly over for observation to collect military data? Go right ahead. It's totally fine. But now, in this 5 minutes, you're the biggest threat we've ever seen, and we need to do a war game. I mean, make up your mind. I don't see anything that's actually rational in any of this. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I don't think that the globalists think that war is a good idea.
See, I think they want it.
No, I think
there's a lot of money to be made.
Not a destructive war.
Well, what is destructive, though? I mean, my gosh, they've been busy destroying a lot, and it does bring a lot of contract money. It does bring a lot of control. I mean, it brings things to their advantage.
They've never destroyed the United States.
Well,
Russia's not been destroyed since World War II.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Europe is pretty stable. They haven't been destroyed.
Word is that in 1962, they sure didn't mind if we had a couple of nuclear back and forths, and that was prevented. I don't know. Do they want it? Yeah, I think they want it. I think it's a great way to usher in either a martial law type scenario, control over the citizenry of any kind. Yeah, I actually think it works for them. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I think if they thought war would do it, then let's mm-hmm. start a real war and see if it does it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But these little piddly things that go on in the Middle East are not exactly war.
Mm-hmm.
That's not war. They're playing around mm-hmm. with something over there. And over there it's war for those mm-hmm. people,
right?
But it's not war for us.
No, not over here. So I just wanted to bring that up. I just thought that was, I don't know. To me, it just always seems like a really strange way to go about it, because then I always want to know, well, what are we actually fighting for and doing, and what are we against? And it's really hard to know sometimes. And so there's that. Shoot, we're not going to have time to get into the Gorsuch thing. We might have to tackle that tomorrow. Gorsuch actually sided with liberals on an issue on whether or not you can use whether or not a gun being used can have this sort of blanket approach to upping the criminality of something, so of a crime. And Gorsuch actually said, no, you can't use the categorical approach. You have to look at every fact, that the facts of every unique case that comes into court. And you actually have to dissect those facts. You can't just say, in the event of a certain crime, it would probably lead to XYZ. Therefore, we can push this very blanket enhancement crime on top of the crime. Kind of like a hate crime, right? Enhances the crime.
Yeah.
And so this was for gun crime. And I did think this was a very interesting case because of who was on what side. Very, very interesting. But maybe we'll talk more about that tomorrow. I'm so I know a lot of people don't agree with my war stance. And I just think that sometimes we have to really look at what information we're getting and who we're getting it from. That's all. I wish that Americans would do more hunting as far as looking behind the scenes a little bit, asking a few more questions. We seem to take everything that is said, that our intelligence, known liars, that have said, and we take that to heart when it's over foreign matters. But then over here we go, well, they're lying. So we don't think they're lying over foreign matters? That's always boggled my mind. And I always want to point that out because we seem to be very gullible because maybe we're not in these countries. And so we just kind of take what they say. I don't know. Why do you think we actually get so gullible and believe and don't question?
I think it's because we've lived for decades not really knowing what goes on in other countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you've been there,
unless you're witnessing it.
Yeah.
And this is why I tend to focus more on journalists on the ground. And I just know that any time we've ever brought this up and people just have such a hard time. And like the caller said, when it came to Syria, the truth now is coming out about Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff that they said happened didn't happen. And man, they were swearing it up and down in government. Oh, yes, all of these things happened. They didn't. Wouldn't that alone be enough for you to question what you're hearing all the time?
Yeah.
I would think, even North Korea, wouldn't that be alone enough? Even Iraq, we all went through the Iraq war. We all know that there weren't weapons of mass destruction. They swore by it. And we still believe them? Like, here's a blank check of belief and whatever you guys say goes. I just want to be a little, maybe it's true. Maybe everything they're saying is true. But I would at least hope that we would have some sort of research done or some sort of something, a question or two, before we just take it hook, line, and sinker. They've lied so many times, and I don't know why we just keep going, well, you got all our trust back. It's a new event, new country. Tell us what's going on. That's what I have a hard time with. Anyway, just don't want to be that gullible. Be faithful. Be fearless. Thank you. Thanks for all your input. Be back tomorrow. A lot of things to discuss tomorrow. And Dr. Dave Janda on the show Friday. We'll be, and Chris Ann Hall Thursday. And, of course, see everybody here. And have a great night. Go be with your families. Have a great night.